When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There we have it. The international break is done. It's done and dusted. We're back into the heart of Premier League action. And what better way to see that back than Tottenham Hotspur versus Luton Town? This is going to be a bit ropey. This is going to be a bit rusty. Obviously, haven't done any of this for a couple of weeks. Always usually the way after an international break. And sorry to front load this in this fashion, but been going through something pretty significant on a personal level these past few weeks. As you know, there was no podcast after Fulham. And some of you will probably have thought I was just having a bit of a hissy fit about that and everything. Unfortunately, Charlotte and I were expecting a baby, which should have been very happy news. We were very excited about that. But 5 months into the pregnancy, unfortunately, we lost the baby a couple of weeks ago. So been kind of trying to deal with that, and you know, I've really been toying with whether or not to talk about this on here. I know I sort of talk at length after and before most games, and I like to keep this a lot about Spurs. I just feel quite uncomfortable talking about myself, but at the same time, I don't feel it's right to just gloss over something like that. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not doing this to try and make some big point to get numbers, as people will cynically say, of this type of thing. It's just to let you know why I haven't been doing any of my podcasts or anything like that. And yeah, it's probably going to affect my ability. I've started and stopped this podcast about three or four times because I've just been rambling about Tottenham against Luton, and right now I honestly am finding it difficult to find any of this remotely significant. And I know football is a nice escape for all of us, but right now I don't really care. but I do and I don't. It's just, do you know what I mean? It falls down in your priorities. But equally, you know, I don't just want to gloss over it. I don't want to gloss over my son's short but, you know, significant life. And I do want to acknowledge that because it's real. And the pain that Charlotte and I feel is very real. And I don't want to pretend that it isn't. So, football, eh? Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know. Something that, you know, and apologies. I know, you know, many of you will probably have gone through similar things. And sorry if this has come out of the blue and is quite upsetting for you to have to sort of revisit in a space like this, football, and everything with it, is supposed to be an escape and to take your mind off of things. But you know, this is how it is. I talk about this type, you know, I talk about everything, football, life, and ramble on about stuff, and I can't just ignore it. The sort of elephant in the room behind all of this. But yeah, so you know, bear with me if the tone of the pods and stuff at the moment is a bit dour. I mean, it always kind of was a little bit, wasn't it? Just comedy foil, comedy dour. But if it actually does feel, I don't know, a bit whatever, just give me a bit of time. Give me a bit of grace, please. Just at this point in time. But yeah, there you have that. So this might be rusty, this might be whatever, but here we are. Tottenham Hotspur versus Luton Town. I mean, we got walloped by Fulham, didn't we? We got walloped. I haven't revisited the game. I didn't, you know, everything was going on at that point in time. Everything with us was happening. So just saw the result later on and thought, oh, well, whatever. I mean, in reflection, just I guess what we know is that Spurs were told by lots of people that there will be days like that under Ange Postecoglou. We've seen them already. I think we probably thought after the Aston Villa game that we would have escaped, not escaped, but you know, I mean, we would have been away from those bad days again, that we would be falling back into that. But look, progress is seldom linear, you know. That's kind of a you know, something that we can take in every facet of life, can't we? That it's just, it is what it is. This is, you know, it's how it happens. We lost a game of football. It happens ultimately, doesn't it? Sometimes we kind of look for a bigger truth to this. Is this something that other players not taking it seriously? Are they got one eye on the international fixtures? Maybe there's some truth in stuff like that. But equally, again, the Occam's razor often behind this type of thing is we lost a game of football. We're a great footballing side. We've got some great players, but we're not an elite team. And even the elite teams, I'm pretty sure City lost at Fulham. Maybe not as emphatically as we did, but I'm pretty sure City lost at Fulham. They're an elite side. We're not an elite side yet. We're going to lose games. We are. It's the reality, isn't it? And, you know, maybe sometimes it doesn't need any further exploration than that. I mean, obviously, I know the sort of the manner of the defeat, the way in which it's happened, and I can't really offer a qualified opinion on that. I mean, I can't at the best of times, but in this instance, I haven't even watched the game. So from what I understand, we were not great. We missed a few very good chances. But that's what happens, isn't it? It's what happens in the Premier League. And really, yeah, okay, Luton are here, and I should probably be careful with what I say about Luton because we are going to be playing them this weekend. But more often than not, other than say like Luton and who else really? I don't think there's any other really weak teams in the Premier League. I know we're often making this point. People are always quick to kind of make this point about the Premier League, about the strength of the Premier League, about the quality. Beg your pardon. But it's true, isn't it? Trite as it may be, Premier League's just really good. Loads and loads of football clubs with loads and loads of money. Somebody made a quite a good point. I can't remember who it was. It might have even been Phil the other day, saying how it's so funny to think that it was after England playing Brazil the other day that growing up, especially when you're kind of like a similar age bracket to us, sort of mid to late 30s, early 40s, you would remember seeing the Brazilians and such when it came to the World Cup, all these amazing players, sometimes on Football Italia as well, but often when it was international fixtures. And they'd all be playing for like all these top clubs all across Europe. Now you've got Brazilian players that are playing in just all manner of sort of just random, not even elite tier kind of Premier League teams. And that's just what the Premier League is now, right? It's a behemoth. It's the strength of the Premier League is remarkable. The money in place at pretty much every single club is, you know, is remarkable. West Ham United, who are classically one of the mid-tier to bottom-tier Premier League teams, went and dispatched Fiorentina in a European final last season, or the season before. Yeah, it was last season, wasn't it? You know, it's just kind of what happens, isn't it, now? So, is what it is. In short, no real easy games in the Premier League. I would like to think Luton's going to be an easy game. On paper, it should be. But we know that's not the reality. We know that Luton are a decent side. They're coached well. They've picked up some decent results so far in the league, and they're not languishing by any stretch of the imagination. I would be surprised if they don't go down. I think Forest might nick it towards the end. We'll have to wait and see. Has their points deduction happened yet? I don't know. Let's have a look. Nottingham Forest points. Nottingham Forest receive apology as Premier League makes statement 8 hours ago. Hang on. Okay, well, they've received an apology for... See, I've been done by clickbait there, haven't I? I've been done by clickbait. The Premier League's apologised unreservedly to Nottingham Forest after transportation strikes forced the league to bring forward their upcoming clash. Well, that was me Googling if they've had a points deduction. Nottingham Forest, I don't know. Maybe they've had one. Nottingham Forest appeal against... Yeah, so I think they've had a four point points deduction. So there we go. I think they might still stay up. I think Luton might go down. But Ange Postecoglou has had his press conference. Today. It is today. I was just suddenly thinking in my head, wait, what day is it? I don't really know. Brain's a bit mush at the moment. Sorry, time is all kind of all over the shop. And he's spoken about various different things. Let's just go through this. I'm going through Football London's article on this at the moment. So let's see what he's had to say. He said, so up top on the team news, all of the internationals got through unscathed. They've come back all good. Mickey was the one who missed the last game. He's trained the last few days, so he's available. I saw that earlier. Much jubilance. Mickey van der Ven back. I mean, I hope we're not rushing him back. You know, like, I don't want to see him get an even worse injury, but, you know, whatever. Great player, isn't he? We need him. I mean, we really need him. The boss on Richarlison, he's okay. He's had a bit of a knee niggle when managing him. Brazil managed him, but he trained today and he feels good. Postecoglou on Romero wanting to play at the Olympics. Yeah, look, with all those things, the Olympics is a little bit of a different issue because clubs aren't obliged to release players. Certainly as a club, we'll make sure there is a balance there. My advice would be with the Copa America and hopefully us gearing up for the big season, rest would be the better policy. I like that. I like the sound of that because I spoke about this on the Thursday pod with Phil. That Romero, lad, you've won a World Cup, mate. You know, I know playing for your national team is obviously a big deal for you, but at the same time, I think Spurs are generally decent with him, right? We were talking about this with, you know, let's just say, you know, Saka, Gabriel leaving their international duties. They'll be playing against Manchester City. We all know they will be. And I think Spurs have always been a bit of a pushover. I don't think it's just so much about Spurs. I think it's how much the club, the players themselves, are worried about incurring the wrath of the club. I can understand how some players right now might think that Spurs don't have much to play for at the moment. So the club's ambitions aren't quite as important as, say, qualifying for an international tournament. But the Olympics, it's mostly for like the young players, isn't it? And Romero he's won a World Cup with Argentina. He's now Tottenham's vice-captain. I think he really needs to just kind of grow up a little bit sometimes in that respect. And I know people want to take this to a place where you're being some sort of a gammon, but I think many people's like reasoning behind that is pretty gammon and problematic. I'm going to use that word themselves. This idea that, oh, it just, you know, it means so much to them to go and play for their national team. You know, I think that's a bit patronising. And I don't think we should have like one rule just because, oh, you know what, Argentinians and that are like. They all love playing for their national team. Nah, come on, man. Like, we've got to find that balance. Everything in life is about balance. And Spurs are good to Romero. Spurs are good to pretty much all of their... I think they're good to all of their players when it comes to representing their countries and things like that. And I think sometimes the players need to give a bit back, especially somebody like Romero, who is very important to the club, to the team. He's one of our captains. So I reckon the club are probably on the same page with that, because that seems, you know, Postecoglou doesn't like to, no managers really do, but Postecoglou in particular doesn't really like to go out and sort of give too much away, really. But you feel from that, that's a pretty strong kind of hint from him that, you know, that he doesn't want to let Romero go. So, you know, but if he does go, then whatever. You know, is what it is at the end of the day. And, you know, what are we going to do? We can't stop him from doing it. We're not going to protest. And then he'll come back and we'll be cheering him on. And that'll be, you know, that'll be that, won't it? Because that's just how football is. Postecoglou on Ben Davis. Ben's an outstanding character. I sense that straight away in the way he carries himself, the way he thinks about the game, the way he thinks about his position in the game, the influence he can have. From my perspective, the more of those kind of guys you can have in a dressing room, it helps you to make sure the standards and environment you want to create are going to take us on to another level. Ben's certainly one of those. He's been great whenever he's played for us this year. Obviously, probably wanted to play a bit more, but at the same time, it's testament to his character that when he has played, he's been ready. He trains the house down every day. I think Ben Davis is just one of those players. This is me saying this now, not Postecoglou. But he is one of these players that every squad needs. They all need him. United have brought back Johnny Evans. They've still got Johnny Evans there. Similar sort of deal, right? Experienced player. Obviously good value in the dressing room. Obviously a senior figure. Not only in a playing sense, but probably in a life sense. A lot of these lads we've got in our team are very young, right? And it's probably quite awkward sometimes to go and speak to the gaffer or one of the coaches. We've all had this, right? We've all had this in any workplace when you've got something like a personal issue or something like that, and you kind of don't want to make it fully official by speaking to like the gaffer, the bosses, that sort of a thing. But when you kind of got somebody who you know is probably got the ear of the gaffer, who's a senior figure in their own right, you can just go and have a word with them, use them as a bit of a sounding board, ask for their advice, ask for their help. It makes it less official. It makes, you know, I know I'm sort of projecting everyday people experiences and things onto superstar athletes, but I'm sure, you know, they're all human at the end of the day. I'm sure there's something that happens there that's universal. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. For anybody listening, that's my water bottle, that kind of funny bubbling noise. But Ben Davis, look, give him a contract. Let him stay here for a few more years. That's not me saying play him in every single game. But when he has filled in, as I always say, you could probably count on one hand the amount of like massive glaring errors Ben Davis has ever made. The issues with him generally tend to be that, yeah, he's not that quick, he's not that dynamic. And in this system, in the Premier League, the top teams, you need to be quick, you need to be dynamic, you need to be a superstar. Ben Davis isn't that, but he does a lot very well. And I don't even think it's this, oh, you're happy to just have a player like him. It's all, as I throw back to what I was saying a bit earlier on, it's all an intricate balance, isn't it? It's all a balance, and I think he's clearly an important part of that. Postecoglou seems to think so. So We'll see. The Spurs boss on Kulusevski copying his team talk to speak to Sweden. What's that? It's okay if they win. I wouldn't be happy if he was using my words and they didn't win. You kind of hope it's not always the case. Okay, I'm going to have to look this up, actually, because I don't know what this is in reference to. Kulusevski, Postecoglou, team talk.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, let's have a look at this. Tottenham star Dejan Kulusevski admits he copied Ange Postecoglou during shock team talk. The Sweden international was asked to deliver an unexpected pre-match speech to his teammates and had to channel his inner Postecoglou. Kulusevski admitted he copied a little of one of Postecoglou's speeches when asked to deliver an unexpected team talk. He was asked by national team coach John Tarle Thompson to speak to, good player he was as well back in the day, Danish, I think, though. Wonder if he's going to get any hate back home from that. Swedes and the Danes don't get on, do they? I think, historically speaking, not big fans of each other. Need to speak to blah, 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 blah. What do you say? Postecoglou's team talk. It's okay. Thomason took me aside for a second and asked if I could talk, and I said, I'll solve it, Kulusevski told football media, Swedish football media. Then I had to walk around thinking about what to say. It was fun. Maybe I'll have to take it again next time. I get inspiration from everything. The speech was from my coach at Tottenham. He's strong on those, so I copied him a little because I believe in what he says. I prepared that we have to play as a family because a family protects one another. The rousing team talk did the trick as Sweden won the game, with the Spurs attacker providing an inch-perfect cross for Gustav Nilsson to head home the only goal of the match. The speech had left a mark with his teammates and his new manager. There you go. Well, there's the backstory behind that. And then so Ange just sort of replied to that saying, I wouldn't be happy if he was using my words and they didn't win. You kind of hope, and it's not always the case, that when you talk, people listen. You hope you can make an impact, not just from a football perspective, but from a life perspective. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. Sometimes there's probably a valid reason why they don't listen. Because I can talk some garbage myself. Well, at least he's honest about it. If they can take away stuff that's positive, that's great for me. But more importantly, shows me at least I'm getting their attention. Get their attention. It's an important lesson. The Australian on Bentancur playing with a broken toe. Yep, small broken toe. He's got nine others, you know. Oh, come on. That's churlish, Ange. That is churlish. I don't think anyone could question Rodrigo's courage with that. He's had to deal with what he's had to deal with recently. He didn't want to stop playing. The medical advice was he could keep playing, so he has been. He hasn't missed a session as far as I can see, and I think it's better now anyway, so it's all fine. I've never had a broken toe, and I've never been an elite professional athlete, so I can't claim to say how much of an impact that would have or wouldn't have on his ability to do his job. I guess this is one of those things where I defer to the experts. I know people don't like those pesky experts nowadays. But look, this is what it is. Bentancur's that type of guy, isn't he? They always say that he's banging down the gaffer's door as soon as he thinks he's fit again. And it's kind of is what it is, isn't it? He has also spoken about Richarlison. Richarlison, who did offer that, that startlingly frank and pretty powerful interview to ESPN, I think I'm going to say it was, speaking all about his mental health, the fact his therapist saved his life. Postecoglou said he's really benefited from the support that does exist, not just for him, but for the others in the community, because he has benefited so directly. I think he's taken on the responsibility of trying to share that around. It's a credit to him. He could have dealt with this privately, but I think the public aspect of it is a brave decision for him. And more importantly, it's a great conduit to others to reach out and seek help when required. This kind of, what Phil and I were saying on the Thursday pods, that it's just good that, Richarlison has, in this kind of alpha-led jockey, I mean, they're all jocks, aren't they? Premier League footballers, athletes, in this sort of alpha male environment, to be as raw, to be as open as that, it's good. I think it's good for anybody. And I don't, I don't want to diminish from anyone else's experience or the way in which anyone else connects with anything, but there's just a part of me that feels like it's especially good for young people, young men, to see somebody, an icon, somebody that they look up to, being able to speak in that way. And whatever, we can have our sort of quibbles about his ability or whether or not we should keep him or whether or not we should take money for him and all that type of thing. It's irrelevant in this point, isn't it? And ultimately, he's Brazil's number nine. He plays for a Premier League football team. He's an international superstar footballer. And we didn't see an awful lot of them speaking in this way when I was growing up. I'll tell you that now. Which wasn't even that long ago. So, you can see, look, I'm still baby-faced, right? Wasn't that long ago. I'm not that old yet. Good on him. And I hope it has proved helpful to anybody that's watching this and saw Richarlison speaking in that way and whatever. I think his advocacy of seeking professional help was especially important. I think there's a lot of good intention around conversations centering on mental health, I say good intentions, whatever. I'm not going to lead this into a cynical point, but especially a lot of brands, they do the whole kind of, it's mental health month, grab some mates, grab a few of our product, and let's all talk about why we're a bit glum, lads, and it's all kind of a bit, just talk to a mate. And it's good, it's an important part of the journey to open up to people, to be able to be raw, to be able to show a certain side of yourself. But I would always advocate for speaking to professionals. If you are struggling, if you are finding things tough, speak to somebody. Speak to somebody impartial, speak to somebody professional if you can. And I know that's not always straightforward. So I know that the support is often quite lacking from the NHS, but there are many resources and things like that. So yeah, professional advocacy, and good on Richarlison for pointing everybody that way, and just good on him. And let's hope he's on the road to recovery. Again, like I say, progress. I mean, I don't want to call this progress, but recovery is seldom linear. Things are seldom linear, right? So can't just be like, he was a bit sad and then he's going to get a bit better. It's up and down. What I was saying at the top of this pod, it's been up and down. I've been dreading recording this. Some days I've been pretty numb. Some days I've been okay. Today I'm not particularly great, and that's just how it is. But maybe talking about football, doing this pod in some ways is kind of therapeutic for me as much as it is for anybody else that's listening. And I'm not just saying that with some elevated sense of ego, having this from plenty of people have reached out to me and said that how much they like the pod and the way in which I talk after a game and way in which I talk about things. So I don't really know where I'm going with that. Team news, Tottenham versus Luton. Tottenham defender Mickey van der Ven has recovered from hamstring injury. Yep, we know that bit. Fraser Forster, Ryan Sessegnon and Manor Solomon remain long-term absentees. Winger Ogbeni joins Luton's lengthy injury list after suffering a hamstring issue on international duty. Doughty and Ruddock and Panzu suffered knocks in the recent draw with Nottingham Forest, but should be blah, 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 both fit. Head-to-head. Spurs host Luton in a competitive game for the first time since a 4-1 top-flight win at White Hart Lane in November 1991. See, this is before my time, really. I mean, I was alive, but I was a ween. So I, you know, Luton Town to me, I've barely even known they've existed. Honestly, for most of my time as a football supporter, they've just been one of many names. It's an area. I know they've got a football club. I know people have always said that Tommy Robinson supports them and DT from Arsenal Fan TV supports them. So that's kind of where they've been on my radar. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me this is the first time we've played in a competitive game at White Hart Lane since that long, because I can't ever remember us playing them. It turns out we haven't. Spurs are unbeaten the Lily Whites are unbeaten in the past 10 league meetings, winning 6 and drawing 4. I guess that's with Luton. Luton's only victory in their 16 top flight away games at Tottenham Hotspur was 3-1 in November 1985. There we go. It's the year I was born. So you got me to thank for that one. Me. All revolves around me. We also won the UEFA Cup that year, so I'll claim. No, wait. Damn, we won that in 1984, didn't we? Shit. I can't claim that one. Spurs, here's some match facts. Let's do Luton's match facts first. Luton Town are without a win in 8 Premier League matches, drawing 3 and losing 5. Rob Edwards' side have conceded 4 goals in 3 of their 4 most recent top flight away games. I mean, that bodes well for us. A league high 36% of Luton's points this season have come from goals in the final 10 minutes. You know how good Spurs are at scoring goals in it. Oh, wait, hang on. Oh, damn. That's saying that. Oh, shit. That's saying that Luton score goals in the last 10 minutes. I thought it was saying that they can. See, I haven't comprehended that. I'm saying the words, but they're not coming in. 36% of Luton's points this season have come from goals in the final 10 minutes. Oh, I don't like that. The Hatters are on a club record run of scoring in 17 successive top flight fixtures since their 1-0 defeat at Manchester United in November. That was something about Fulham, wasn't it? We lost our run as well. That's really annoying. Their sole win in 39 top flight trips to London was by 2-1 over Wimbledon at Plough Lane in February 1990. That's miserable, isn't it? Are Luton, I mean, I know they're not. I mean, can you sort of half class them as a London club? It's Borough within. I know people say it's in Bedfordshire, right? So it's in Bedfordshire apparently, but there are some of these sort of towns and things that will exist around London that will be kind of considered Greater London, right? Because London's just so sprawling and massive. Let's have a look. Is Luton considered to be Greater London? Let's have a look. No. It's actually 30 miles outside of even Greater London. That's mad. I'm going to have a look at a map now. Luton. Oh, it is actually a mission away. Yeah, it's even further away than St. Albans and stuff. See, I thought in my head it was kind of Enfield, Watford, Luton, St. Albans. but it isn't that. I mean, it's slap bang in the middle of the Chiltern Hills. Yeah, no, Luton is way outside of London, isn't it? I'm guessing it's probably one of those parts, one of those places that are sort of on the outskirts of London where loads of Londoners moved to. Maybe after the war, maybe, I don't know, at various different points when people start leaving London because it gets too expensive and everything like that. You know, like Essex and all that sort of thing. Essex, Woking, places like that. Interesting. So there you go. Luton, not a part of London. Luton's only clean sheet in their past 71 top flight away games was in a goalless draw with West Ham at Upton Park in August 1991. There we go. Tottenham Hotspur. Spurs have won 6 of their past 7 Premier League home fixtures, losing the other. Points to anybody that can tell me who that was to. I don't know. However, they failed to keep a clean sheet in any of their last 10 home league matches. The Lilywhites have won 9 of their previous 10 top flight games against promoted sides, last losing at home to Bournemouth in April 2023. Ange Postecoglou's side have failed to score in the first half of their last 5 Premier League matches. This is all not very fun, is it? Tottenham's 3-0 defeat at Fulham last time out ended a run of scoring in 39 successive league fixtures. Son Heung-min has been directly involved in 22 goals in his past 22 top flight appearances, with 14 goals and 8 assists. I just think we're going to concede in this one, but I can see us scoring a few goals because I think Luton, to their credit, like to play football. That's got to be one of those, you know, that geezer that does those compilations of managers saying things like at the end of the day or over the moon. And there are always like 3 to 5 minute compilations of just various different managers and things saying a phrase. Like to play football, surely. Proper football man. That was a good one. There was at the end of the, I think it's at the end of the proper football man as well. It's really like oddly sort of, I don't know, tender and profound. Tony Pulis says something like, he's not just a good man, he's a proper football man. And just the way he delivers it, it feels so sweet, so tender from Tony Pulis. Who would have thought? But yeah, I think Luton are going to get one, but I can see us scoring 4. That's it. I'm going to do 4-1 to Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. Yeah. Let's have it, eh? Back with a bang. I'll be back after the game. So speak to you then. But if you don't want to tune in, if we've just had a miserable defeat and you're not going to tune in after the game, in advance, happy Easter. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast down the years. Thank you to anybody that's reached out and everything like that. Whatever. Laters.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.